Well, this is Dr. Stan here at the at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and I'm bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, and supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Right now, of course, we ask you to hold your calls for the time being because we have with us on the line a good friend, Jerry Mooney. And Jerry worked with the NSA, he was with the military, and, of course, he was intimately involved with this whole cover-up of the men we abandoned, both in Vietnam and in Korea. But so, Jerry, thank you so very much for being with us.
Glad to be with you.
Well, why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about who you are and what your qualifications were? I know because I've actually seen you on videos put out by the various, prisoner family organizations and the American Defense Institute, other organizations, trying to get the truth out about the men we abandoned. But why don't you give out your background?
Well, my background, I've been spent 20 years in the military. In the United States Air Force Security Service with assignments to the National Security Agency and then some business trips down to CIA. I was involved as a cryptanalyst, a cryptolinguist, a communications analyst, and a staff officer during my last few years. And one of my primary duties was to keep track of MIA POWs and to do in-depth research into the POW-MIA affairs, and also to try to relate them into the Soviet involvement, Chinese involvement, and, of course, in Vietnam itself. And when I had all these records and came before the Congress of the United States, I ran into a brick wall, a bamboo curtain made out of steel, because this is the one issue nobody seems to talk about. But in the last couple of weeks, it's coming to a boiling point.
Well, why don't you tell us what's happening in the last couple of weeks? Because I haven't heard anything at all about anything new coming out.
It's starting to move right now. What has happened is the 9/11 Commission. The POW issue transcends into every form of intelligence since it's very high up on the listings. And so you can't get into an issue, whether it's preemption or nuclear warfare, where you don't run into intelligence collection related to the MIA POWs. Now, what has happened in the last couple of weeks is this fight that's going on in Congress from the 9/11 Commission recommendations. And what is going on is they've said that we have to have an increase in human. They're willing to spend millions and millions, if not billions of dollars, to get new agents and to get people out and to collect a human intelligence. This is citing reports like Osama bin Laden is here, or deserters coming across to our side, or just regular shopkeepers anywhere in the world that will give us information, which is called human. Now, this is understandable, and this is pretty good stuff if you can correlate it with other sources of intelligence. But you go back to the POW issue through every hearing, including the one in Kerry's in 1992. And human was a key part of the POW issue. You had sighting reports, thousands of them. And back in 59 and 1960, you had 10,000 of them coming out of Russia itself through Pakistan. Now, each and every one of these sighting reports of American POWs was debunked by the United States government.
In other words, it was a sound policy that they were going to cover it up, and that was really the purpose of McCain and John Kerry on that program, wasn't it? To lie to the American people about the men we left
behind?
Absolutely.
But see, here's the paradox of it. This human intelligence was not good enough. None of it, not one single bit of it was good enough to account for MIA POWs. But now, Congress, the President, and all these people in the media are demanding that human be used to defend the United States.
We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Jerry Mooney. He was in the military for many years and worked with various intelligence organizations, and part of his job was to track the men who were abandoned in Vietnam. And, of course, as he got into this, he realized it wasn't just Vietnam, why we had abandoned men in Korea. And yet there was an organized government policy to conceal the truth from the American people. They had all sorts of reports. They were valid reports. And yet, of course, every one of them was debunked. And, of course, they kept the families at bay, promising, oh, don't make a fuss, don't raise this. Why, we're not going to be able to give you information. Or something big is about to break. Oh, the boys will be coming home at any time. They abandoned probably, how many people do you think they abandoned between the military and the CIA people in Laos, none of whom ever came home?
Well, in Southeast Asia, the numbers that, from my initial listings, was about 300 over North Vietnam and adjacent past areas of Laos. People down on the fifth floor from where I worked, they had about another 300. So you're talking about 600 there. Then the indigenous personnel, I've heard estimates anywhere from, this is CIA operatives and British operatives and stuff, anywhere from 300 to 400 to up to 1,000 that were lost or just simply disappeared.
In other words, they did not want to tell the American people the truth. Henry Kissinger wanted to cover up the fact that he had promised to give the North Vietnamese $4 billion. And, of course, when we didn't carry our part of the pact, why, they didn't carry out their part of the pact, and they kept the troops. I think they would have probably given them up a long time ago. Only Henry Kissinger and the establishment really doesn't want to get them back at this time, do they?
Oh, no, not... There was a plan on the books in 1974, actually you go back to early 73, that said that we could probably get another 100 to 150 back once the war was over. There was discussions going on that some of these people had been used in construction areas and had been, American POWs had been used in construction and stuff like that, that the Vietnamese could not afford to let go until they had won the war because of security problems. And this was pretty much discussed. But after the Watergate incident and everybody in government or a lot of the analysts who knew about this issue just bailed out, that whole program fell apart. And by 1977, the only thing you had left was a few people running around saying, what the hell went wrong? And the whole thing just collapsed. But there was a plan to get out some after the war.
And they've consistently lied to the American people about the fact that we knew that there were live people left behind.
Oh, absolutely. It's like what's going on now. I mean, all of a sudden to defend the homeland and these people get some votes and stay in public, human intelligence is great. But to bring home the POWs, human intelligence is no good.
So hold that thought right there. Well, this is Arthur Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Jerry Mooney, and was with the military and intelligence for, how long were you in the military and intelligence?
20 years, 2 months and 2 days.
All right, fine. And are you retired now? Or
yeah, I've been retired for about 25 years.
All right, fine. And of course, he's been still interested in trying to get the truth out, and he's been working behind the scenes with other people, and there's a small group who really care. Most Americans don't care. Life is good. Why should we be concerned about them? And then, of course, they hear about it. They feel a little guilty. But, of course, the media blocks the stories out. They may have a story once in a while. But the major stories, anything that really is valid, they block that out. The last thing that the media, which works hand in glove with the CIA and the establishment, in my estimation, does not want the American people to know the truth. That you go fight for America, and if there's any way that you may very well be abandoned. I think a lot of people are willing to die for the country, but to be betrayed by their leaders, I think that is so unconscionable. And it's really both Republicans and Democrats. There were a few people who tried to get the truth out. Colonel Peck, General Ty, what happened to them, and what was the story about Ronald Reagan?
Well, see, Colonel Peck, he tried to get the story out and bring the... human intelligence and lock it up with NSA and CIA and finally convince Congress that, hey, we left these men behind. And this was not only for Vietnam, but for Korea and World War II at all. But the advisors to President Reagan gave Reagan a bad story. And Reagan wouldn't listen to them. And Colonel Peck got so frustrated, he just nailed his resignation on the door and walked out.
In other words, he put his resignation after all these years in the military, and he put a dagger in the wall.
That's right. I mean, he was so fed up because when you work in the intelligence business and you see the facts and you correlate the facts, And then, and that's all within the technical intelligence, that when, as soon as it enters into politics, as soon as your reports and your messages and your positions hit the political realm, these people just distort them because they're always thinking about, will this get us any votes? Or will this help us improve commerce with the Soviet Union, which is one thing I heard over and over and over again. They sit there and they don't care about the men. In fact, many of them, I had a congressman tell me in Washington in 1986, that who cares about the POW? They're nothing but a bunch of dirty cowards who surrendered anyway, and who wants to bring people home who surrendered? Now, that's the type of attitude they have. Anything to dump the American POW or the fighting man, and then they got the guts to sit there and put advertisements on a TV, we don't leave our men behind. And they're being played today. I saw two of them on TV today for the United States Army. We don't leave our men behind. Well, check World War II, check Korea. And some of my colleagues who were flying these C-130s around the Soviet Union were shot down, captured alive, and never came home. I mean, we've left men behind forever and ever and ever.
Because, of course, the attitude of the leaders, people like Henry Kissinger, who is quoted in the book Final Days by Woodward and Bernstein, is saying, oh, the military men, they're just stupid, dumb animals to use for foreign policy. That's on page 194 of his book. Stupid, dumb animals. This is the man, the friend of our president, the man the president wanted to have the new 911 commission, but Henry is, was so dishonest, nobody could possibly have him there. And, of course, they finally let him back out gracefully because it would have discredited any effort they had. But this is the attitude of the ruling elite. Oh, we're so much in favor of our fighting men. Ladies and gentlemen, if they were in favor of our fighting men, there'd be enough of them there. They'd have, they'd be well supplied. We would not have 20,000 casualties in addition to the 12 or 1,300 already dead. And then they always separate those who died in Iraq. We don't know how many have died in Afghanistan. They never mention that at all. Figures don't lie, but liars figure, and the last thing they want is for the American people to know the truth. And not only the 20,000 physically, but of course another 10 or 15,000 who have other bizarre diseases, they don't even know what's wrong with them. Sort of like the Gulf War syndrome that they say doesn't exist. Only over 200,000 of the men who went to fight in the first Gulf War are still ill from that.
So you can go back as far as one of the classic examples that used to be taught in intelligence school about how politics works, like people with Kissinger, is the Cuban Missile Crisis. Now, during the Cuban Missile Crisis, they had overhead photography of these so-called missile sites, and then they also had tons and tons of human intelligence. You know, Cubans defecting, coming out, saying they've seen these missiles, seen these rockets, seen these rails, you know, all the guidance radars with them. Well, these human reports, these sighting reports by Cubans, were critical in our decision to blockade Cuba. Now, as soon as Khrushchev had some boats sail from Cuba, they pulled back the canvas. Remember, and you saw these cylinders? You didn't see missiles. You saw these cylinders leaving Cuba. The crisis was over. And yet, for 5 years after that, you had the same Cubans coming out of Cuba, talking about these IRMs are still, IRBMs are still there. The radars are still there, the soldiers are still there, the Soviet brigade was still there, but the politicians decided that they had left, and it was over. So all this human now became garbage. It's the same thing that happened to the POW issue. When the people on top decide what the intelligence is that they're going to accept, we're in deep trouble. And that's been going on ever since Kissinger and McNamara came into the scene.
Talk about how they use these issues. I remember very well the Cuban Missile Crisis. I'm old enough to remember that. And I can remember in June or July of 1962, White Light Look magazine writing an article about the missile sites were being built in Cuba. But, of course, the government kept denying it, until just before the November election.
You're right.
And then, of course, they wanted to rally the people behind the president. Why? Why? Because he was going to lose control of Congress. People were sick and tired of what Kennedy was doing and his socialist programs, and so they were going to get him out. They were going to vote the Democrats out of control of Congress. And so suddenly they discovered that there was those missiles there in Cuba. And then, of course, even today they have all these new wonderful stories. But, of course, it's all built upon lies. They'd known this for at least 6 months beforehand, and they did nothing till just before the election. Sort of like Osama bin Laden suddenly coming up with a tape just before the most recent election. And Osama, what it looked like he had seen the Michael Moore film, and it was using, of course, the CIA's film on the incidents of casualties. Why, you've lost we lost 10,000 Iraqis. Actually, the figure is 100,000. Why wouldn't Osama bin Laden use 100,000 Iraqis, which is the real figure, rather than 10,000? He was, I don't know who wrote that speech, but it sure wasn't Osama bin Laden.
Oh, yeah. You know, when you look at our government, it's so despicable on some of the things they do. I mean, you can't call them all despicable, but some of the things that they do are absolutely despicable. I know of a general, General Kennedy, and he used to make a very, very fine officer, and he was one of the driving forces in this POW issue. And time and time again, he said the safety of America and the safety of the troops that we send to warfare is dependent upon us being the hunter, not the hunted. And even back then, this was in the late 60s and early 70s, and he recognized that terrorism at one time was going to be a critical problem in the United States. He says, even when this fighting overflows into the civilian sector, which is a reference to terrorism, you still have to be the hunter. You cannot be the hunted. And that's one of the problems that we have right now, because policy and the economics of the world always come in and say, well, if we just do a little bit of this less, and we don't preempt this, or we don't get tough, or we don't get mad, everything's going to be all right. And all of a sudden, you got aircraft crashing into the Twin Towers. And that's how you come up with POWs. I mean, and pretty soon you're going to have civilian POWs if this terrorism comes to the United States. Then what are the American people going to do? I mean, when civilians start becoming POWs, what are the American people going to do?
Well, I think they're just going to look to government to solve their problem without realizing that there's a dark side to our government. There are a lot of wonderful people working for our government. We have the greatest form of government in the world, but there are also some dark forces there. And anybody who doubts that needs to go see this film, National Treasure. And although I haven't seen the movie, it gets into the emblem on the back of the dollar bill and the Masonic influence in America. And believe me, it's nowhere as benign as they want you to believe after seeing that movie. But of course, it's a propaganda film, but it does at least bring out the fact that there are these secret organizations which are very, very real, working behind the scenes, of course, keeping America from ever really winning the Cold War.
Well, it's like General Lavella once said when I was out at Saigon briefing some of his people. I was told by one of his aides that the General Lavella had once said that we're a nation being run by skull and bones, and the only thing skull and bones is creating is skull and bones.
Right.
And most of them are wearing a uniform. And that's a very, very harsh statement to say about our political system.
How long ago was that?
That was in 1971, July of 1971.
And, of course, the skull and bones people are always in positions of power. Henry Stimson, during the Second World War, getting us involved and covering up Pearl Harbor. McGeorge Bundy, National Security Advisor, good friend of Henry Stimson, also skull and bones. And you see the bones people in all positions. Of course, George Herbert Walker Bush, leading us into the first Gulf War after his ambassador encouraged Saddam Hussein to invade Kuwait, and then, of course, his son, George W. Bush, getting us into a war in Iraq, when Iraq wasn't a threat to the United States. Sure, we'd be better off without Saddam Hussein, but people have forgotten that George Herbert Walker Bush and the Reagan administration financed Saddam Hussein. If you doubt that, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We'll give you an article out of the Washington Post going into that, written some years ago. We financed this Saddam Hussein. If he was such a bad guy, why were we financing him, even after he had used poison gas on the Iranians in Kurds? So, Jerry, things are never quite what they appear to be, are they?
No, they're not. But, you know, there are principles out there. And one of the principles is it's called the Intelligence Covenant. And it defines what intelligence is supposed to do. And what it says is simply, and I quote it, is there are times when a nation must go to war or engage in hostile actions. When this occurs, we the people give government the terrible responsibility to risk our lives in warfare. In turn, we demand from government their awesome accountability not to waste us.
But of course, we don't seem to see that the government is accountable, and they're still covering up what really happened.
And they're wasting us. You know, right. I mean, it's you look in Iraq right now, instead of pursuing, you know, and being an absolute total hunter and resolving this issue, they're playing games.
Amen to that.
And the same thing in Afghanistan, and you saw it in World War II.
And they wouldn't put enough people in Iraq. The military said, we need 200,000 troops. And the general who said that, why, he was immediately fired.
Yeah, you're right. They have a concept. These people come from...
Hold that thought right there.
Our 4-tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination, a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of an American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this 4-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, our guest this afternoon is certainly Jerry Mooney, who was with the military for a long period of time, was on top of the stories and the intelligence dealing with the fact that we abandoned these soldiers. And this has been covered up with the full help of the media and people at the highest levels of our military. Now, there have been people who have tried to get the story out. Certainly General Tai, head of the Defense Intelligence Agency for a time, he did everything he could to get the information out. And I've read some of the testimony. He gave everything done to discredit him, asking him 3 different questions at the same time. Why do you do that? You do that intentionally to discredit somebody. I mean, I'm not going to let that somebody ask my guest three questions. You take one question at a time. You take the question. You can develop it. But asking three questions at one time, you have to try to remember those three questions. These are all tricks that are done, and they did everything they could to discredit General Time, to make him appear to be a bumbling, old, confused man. He was brilliant. He was trying to tell the American people the truth. And, of course, his warning was muted. Would that be a fair statement, Jerry?
Oh, yes. It's like when I testified, McCain came at me very hard, but I was ready for him, you know, and having been in the military and having gone through a lot of confrontations, I was prepared for it. But the one thing I wasn't prepared for was Senator Harry Reid from Nevada. He came up. The first question he asked me, here we're talking about MIA POWs, American servicemen. The first question he asked me was, have I ever been paid to appear on any television program? Well, no, I never have. I never received a penny from anybody on this issue anywhere. But that's the first question he asked me. Senator Harry Reid, have I ever been paid to appear on We Can Keep You Forever or on the, you know, the American Defense Institute film? Well, that shows me a senator who doesn't give a damn about the American POWs. He just wants to close down the issue.
What he really wants to do is discredit you in the process.
Oh, yes.
Have you noticed how the media is giving McCain all this coverage recently? Every time they want anybody, they got 100 senators, and who do they go to? John McCain. Obviously, this man is being has an invisible force behind him within the media, making him an authority. Here's a man who many, of course, of the people who are POWs believe betrayed them, betrayed his country, went over to the enemy, and yet he's a United States senator. And the average American has no idea about that.
You know, McCain, to me, is living proof that you can, you know, pile male Montana prairie frisbee is 6 feet tall and teach it all to talk, but all that comes out of it is BS. You know, I have no time for the man because the man is a liar and he's also a coward. You saw that in the Keating 5 testimony where he walked around like a whipped puppy and just begged to keep his job, you know, and just begged and agreed with everybody and everything on the Senate Ethics Committee. So he wasn't even a man. He was just a little whipped dog walking around there, and he got off by playing the whipped dog syndrome. So you can imagine what he did when he's in captivity. And they're making a movie about him. I mean, that ought to be interesting. I hope I'm in it, since me and him went at it head-to-head in the Senate's committee hearings.
Well, I think people need to know that in 1991 and 1992, there were Senate hearings, and, of course, John Kerry, who, of course, really supported the North Vietnamese during the war, and John McCain did everything they could, of course, to slant the hearings to conceal the fact that there were men left behind. Why would they have done something like that? Why would they have betrayed the men, brave men who were over there fighting?
Well, the one thing was money again, the normalization of Vietnam. When I testified to Senator Kerry about the executions, I sent a copy of that message, didn't I?
I'm sorry, what? Go ahead.
The executions of 10 Americans?
No.
Isn't a letter I sent you copies of these NSA documents about the execution of 10 Americans. When I testified about this, he told some of the Senate investigators that I was a liar. Well, the investigators told me that he called me a liar. I said, well, the day is going to come. He's going to regret that. 4 months later, NSA released the documents that confirmed that these executions taken place. I called out there on the phone to talk to the lawyer, Kadena, who was, handling all the legal stuff for Kerry. He wouldn't talk to me, so I talked to an aide. And I says, well, you know, ever since the beginning of these hearings, Kerry and McCain all have been going for normalization. Now that you know that the North Vietnamese executed American prisoners of war, do you still want to normalize with Vietnam? Oh, no, no, we want to resolve this first. Less than a year after they became aware of these executions, normalization occurred, and guess who were the driving force? Kerry and McCain.
And, of course, the thing is that they were quite willing to betray those men and leave them to rot in communist prison camps because they wanted, of course, a normalization of relations with North Vietnam. The North Vietnamese, at that point, were desperate for recognition. They would have given the men back.
Oh, that's
but
money.
But McCain and Kerry didn't want them back. That is what's so unconscionable about it.
Well, there's so many officers, tactical officers and people from the Vietnam War who are trying to get even with the war. Because you ask yourself this question. Now, of all the people who went before the Senate Select Committee to talk about the POWs, or just a couple guys from NSA, and then you had General Tai and a few others, where were all the other general officers who were tactical commanders during the Vietnam War? They came there and testified like, Secretary of State.
Well, hold that thought right here.
Help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, En Route to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
And this is Dr. Stan, and I simply want to mention that we do carry the Berkey products, and if you are in an area that has fluoridated water, or any question at all about that water, the impurities in it, you need to have a Berkey water filter. They're the standard of excellence all across America. The big Berkey is not available in California, although it's available in every other state except California and Iowa. The Berkey Light does a great job. They're both, of course, will not take out fluoride. If you have fluoride in your water, why, you'll want to get the post filters that go along with this. If you'd like to know more about them, why, go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. The Berkey Light is made of Lexan. It's clear. You can see the water level, which is what we have. That's $199 plus $10 shipping. The Big Berkey, stainless steel, four filters. It does a great job. $279. You need the filters for both, post filters for both if you want to get rid of the fluoride. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. Right. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and right now let's go to Daryl calling us from Pennsylvania. Hi, Daryl. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan, and I have three questions for your guest, Jerry Mooney.
One at a time.
And I promise I will ask them one at a time, but I want to make a quick comment first because he had mentioned those current ads, "We Don't Leave Our Men Behind," and Jerry and I share a very similar background. I was 20 years military, 11 and a half years U.S. Air Force Security Service, mostly on aerial reconnaissance, 8.5 years ASA, Army Security Agency, and I worked 6 years as a DOD civilian at the Puzzle Palace. He knows what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And my comment is that when I went through my survival school up at Fairchild Air Force Base in Washington State, I believe it was 1967, I remember them telling me, "Oh, if you are ever shot down, if you're ever shot down, we will leave no stone unturned. We will send in the special forces, the Navy SEALs. We'll even send them into Lubyanka prison to pull you out if you're ever shot down." And as Jerry well knows, quite a number of our aircraft were shot down during the Cold War. He mentioned the one that was, they set up a beacon in
September
the Soviet Union, and a plane that should have gone into Turkey around the Black Sea ended up getting shot down, and quite a number of the men being captured, and probably a number of them tortured to death. But my three questions are, is that Jerry had mentioned Colonel Peck, and I had heard there was at least one, maybe two full colonels at the Pentagon who worked on the POW-MIA issue who resigned in protest. Was there a second colonel?
I've heard that rumor, but I can't confirm it.
All right, second question.
Second question. Would you agree that, that two of the biggest roadblocks in the Senate on the POW-MIA issue are Senator John McCain and Senator McCain and Senator Kerry?
Absolutely, not a doubt.
Okay, and the third question is, I had heard that one of the biggest proponents in the U.S. Congress for the MIA was Representative Sonny Bono, and that he had gotten a lot of heat from some of his congressional colleagues when he stood up for the POW-MI issue. Had you heard anything on that?
Well, let me answer it this way. I'm sure he wouldn't mind. Senator Smith was the one I dealt mostly with, but I did receive some calls from him wanting information. They were private personal calls because he wasn't out front vocally, you know what I mean?
Right. I heard he was working behind the scenes.
But he was very curious and wanted to know what he could do. And I don't know what he was up to, but every time, maybe three or four calls at the most, and he had specific questions like he was involved with somebody else, but I don't know how far that went with Representative Bono.
All we know is he died under rather strange circumstances, yeah. But that happens to a lot of people who...
Well, I'll give you one of the questions that he asked me that was most curious. I had written an affidavit, and it talked at various discussions about a salt and pepper incident in 1974 where the North Vietnamese came up with a message. We were reading the code, and we broke the code and read the message, where a black and white man had escaped this prison over by High Point 1492 in Laos and was heading for the Thai border. We immediately got the information to the White House and got it to the embassy in Laos, U.S. Embassy, and they sent out a team to try to capture or, you know, rescue these guys. And we got almost immediately after the incident, maybe within a couple hours, we got a message back from the U.S. Embassy in Laos that these were two Laotians, one dark-colored and one light-colored, which was garbage. Because we went back and got the best linguist we could and went back to the message. And, you know, they were talking about a black man, like a Negro, and a white man, like a Caucasian. And that's the way the translations came out by the best. And it was two American POWs. And what further convinced us about this was that this place they escaped from was a prison in the mountains of High Point 1492, which we call the Columbus Prison, Christopher Columbus Prison because of the numbers.
Right.
And had been used since 1969 as a place to keep POWs as well as Soviet SA-7 missiles prior to the invasion. So we pressed this really hard, and we were finally, and even General Kennedy pressed this very hard, and we were told to shut up. The State Department told us to shut up. They're not Americans.
No, they really didn't want Americans back. No.
But Congressman Bono was asking about this. So I was wondering, the thought crossed my mind, I don't know for sure, but the thought crossed my mind that maybe he had somehow stumbled on to something in one of the committees he was on about this, or maybe he had seen the messages or something out of the U.S. Embassy in Laos, and was pursuing it either for himself or for somebody else, but that's just a guess.
Well, I had heard that he had been told in very strong terms to back off. And Dr. Stan, we mentioned in the last hour the book Into the Buzzsaw that you carry. There's a story in there, Monica Jensen Stevenson, who wrote the book Kiss the Boys Goodbye, and you might want to let the folks know how to get that and tell them that how her story was spiked when she tried to get the POW-MIA issue out. And God bless you, and thank you for having such great guests.
Thank you so much. Well, of course, Monica had written two books. One was Kiss the Boys Goodbye, and the other was A Spite House. And, of course, she talks about Spite House and Into the Buzzsaw. But her books were suppressed. They brought a lawsuit on the second book to silence that one. They shredded the copies of the first one, and she tells about how they shredded accidentally 5,000 copies of the book when it was reprinted. How could you accidentally shred 5,000 copies of a book? And if you get our four tape set on the story of Barbara Garwood, I think that she tells that story there. That's one
better one than that, though.
What?
I can give you a better one than that.
Okay, go ahead.
My documents, which total a complete file cabinet of all the names of American POWs, where they were, some including KIAs after they were captured, the executor and everything else, was at the National Security Agency. Now, that entire cabinet with all those documents, some of the top secret controlled, disappeared as soon as the Senate Select Hearing started. I was later told when I went to NSA to help look through some of the old computer reels that they got some tactical information, that that stuff was picked up in 1974, went somewhere, he wouldn't tell me where, But he says it won't be seen for 50 years.
In other words, the last thing they want is the American people to know the truth. And the last thing they want are men going overseas to fight to know is that we did abandon men in the First World War, in the Second World War, in Korea and in Vietnam. And anybody who wants the Senate Foreign Relations Committee report, the so-called Helms Committee report, we offer that with our Vietnam special. You can get that independently, but that's a great report, totally suppressed by the controlled media. Well, let's go to Roger here. Hi, Roger. How are you doing?
Yeah, hi, gentlemen. Thanks. And Mike, you mentioned about McCain pushing the Vietnam trade, and I think he's the most dangerous sort of politician. Now, my question goes to motive, because you recall in the primary season when Bush, rather McCain, was making serious headway against Bush during the primaries with an intense, vigorous campaign. It's like he totally dropped campaigning the very day after Rust Limpjaw dropped on his show, and it was seen how much of a threat McCain was. He dropped an elliptic reference to the half a year or more rumor about Vietnam having some 20-some reels of pornographic video with McCain.
Well, first of all, we don't have any. That's a rumor that's out there. We don't know anything about it. How would you respond, Jerry?
Well, as far as McCain goes, every time when he questioned me, I talked to him in 86, then again in 92, I got the impression, and you know, a lot of rumors about he was broken by and talked to the Russians and all this stuff, but I got the impression in his vehement testimony of me and the anger he showed at me trying to bring this issue up, that he has something to hide in relation to his tour duty in Vietnam. And I talked to one of his staff people who wouldn't just give me a wink and a nod, you know, whether that's a yes or no. But I think he's got something he doesn't want to come out. And I don't think it's something evil. I don't think it's pornography. I don't think it's, you know, he's married, but had got married or three kids. I got the impression, or I got the feeling, which is as good as, you know, putting a penny on a street corner and letting a trucker alert, that he has something to hide. And I think it probably has to do with his interrogation by the Soviets, because the Soviets were there pretty heavy, and his daddy was an admiral, and I think he could have been pretty useful to the Soviets and the KGB, especially the GRU, with his daddy being an admiral as probably a source of intelligence.
Okay, fine. Is that okay, Roger?
Very good. Take care.
Thanks so very much. In fact, I have an article out of Newsweek magazine, where, anybody would like to see a copy of it, we could get it for you. Senator McCain was asked why he was running for the presidency, and his remark was, perhaps it was just a flippant one, Angela Lansbury turned over the Queen of Diamonds. Angela Lansbury turned over the Queen of Diamonds. Now, anybody who's seen the film with Frank Sinatra, starring Frank Sinatra and Angela Lansbury, called The Manchurian Candidate, will remember what the trigger was for the Manchurian Candidate. Be that as it may, probably just a flippant remark, but it was an interesting thing, totally covered up by the media. Angela Lansbury turned over the Queen of Diamonds, suggesting he was a Manchurian Candidate. Well, anyway, of course, there are many, many very real things that we can document, and that is the fact that the government knew they left these boys behind, and we were talking about the Secretary of State coming to testify before the committee hearings. Were you speaking of Henry Kissinger?
It's him and these tactical commanders. When they showed up, none of them knew anything. I mean, you know, Kissinger didn't know anything. Colin Powell didn't know anything. And yet here you got these people having the highest clearances, receiving all this data. I was writing his reports, and I was putting plus White House on them.
You mean that they lied under oath? Is this what you suggest?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think Colin Powell probably told so many lies that if he was Pinocchio, his nose would have reached all the way over to the Chesapeake Bay. And the same thing with Kissinger. They lied because when you have critical intelligence, especially on a POW issue, and you issue a report and the State Department or White House isn't on that particular distribution, you write it in. You write plus White House, or you write plus State Department. And I wrote a lot of those. So for Kissinger and for the White House, or Ollie North, or for any of these people that have been National Security Advisor, to say that we don't know anything is a lie, a direct lie. Even Wesley Clark, you know, he was in charge of NATO over there. And all that intelligence from World War II. I've seen some of it. And he didn't know anything. Now, how can a sergeant see this stuff and generals not? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, of course, the thing is that they are told, you know, their career is at stake here. You don't tell the truth. But, of course, if you lie, why, you could end up as, well, you could be Joint Chiefs of Staff, or you could be even the Secretary of State as a reward. You might even run for the presidency. But if you tell the truth, why, you're obviously undependable. And, of course, you'll lose the support of the establishment.
And you're not a good team player. That's
right.
The big thing I always hear, you know, go along with me this. It'll show you're a team player, and someday you'll be an ambassador. You know, I've heard that a lot of times. Even when I was getting ready to retire, I got offered some jobs, you know, because I knew I was a little bit of a radical and someday I might blow the whistle on this. But, you know, I just, no, I don't want any part of this. I'm just going to go out and live my own life. And,
yeah, well, I appreciate the fact that you've kept your faith with these men we abandoned. But the tragedy is the average American really doesn't care. They really don't care as long as the good times roll.
You know, a good example of that is the 9/11 families. How many, you could probably go through and ask the 9/11 families, how many of you cared about the coal incident where Americans were killed, or the embassies where Americans were killed, or Coal Bar Towers? Oh, we heard about it. It's sad. But a minute they got their little piece of the pie and their loved ones died, look at the uproar that it creates. See, we're very passive when it happens to somebody else, but when it happens in your own backyard, then people get very, very upset.
And of course, they bought all those people off. They gave them all $1 million.
Oh, yeah.
So that they would not be making an issue, so they wouldn't sue the airline, so that they, you know, they wouldn't, of course, sue the Saudis, so they wouldn't demand a full investigation. There were some of them that had the courage not to take the money, and they're the ones who are calling for a new investigation. But so many of the people sold out everything for the $1 million they could get.
Well, you also got the whiners in Congress, you know, this is the one thing that was tried to do, I think it was 1976, because, you know, Congress always whines. When things go right, oh, yeah, great. When things go wrong, they blame everybody, you know? But they never take any responsibility on themselves. And at one time, the intelligence community wanted to put a comm center in Congress and start sending information to them and saying, hey, you're part of the problem now. But you're whining. But Congress is the biggest bunch of whiners in the world, and yet they have no accountability for anything. You know, but put that comm center in there. See, let them see the intelligence out of Iraq. Let them see the intelligence coming from the terrorism. Then they can't whine anymore because they now are in the know. And that's what should be done. Put Congress in the know so they quit crying so much.
Well, of course, I know that we see, though, the cover-up of intelligence. We see a man named Porter Goss, who'd been a longtime CIA agent, and, of course, our information is he was involved in the drug smuggling for the CIA. Then he retires. He becomes immediately elected to Congress. Mm-hmm. And where does he serve? Why, he's in charge of the House, you know, Judiciary Committee's oversight, inspecting the CIA. So he's there to make sure that the CIA isn't doing anything wrong. How could you put a CIA agent in charge of the Congressional Committee to make sure the CIA isn't doing anything wrong? And he must have done a good job, because now he's been made director of the CIA. These people give incest a bad name.
Oh, yes, and it's not only that, but the CIA... The problem the CIA has is that it's become too political, too many appointees. You got to bring up people from the ranks, you know. You got to bring them up, like, for instance, if you've got good people at NSA, send them over to CIA, because it broadens their knowledge and they bring knowledge with them. If you've got good people at CIA, send them over to NSA, because it broadens their knowledge and they bring good information. It's called correlation. If you've got people at DIA, I mean, you send these people around, and pretty soon you have an intelligence system that, quote, works, unquote.
But now, of course, they're firing anybody who won't pledge unqualified loyalty
under
the current policies of the administration. I mean, you got to have people there who can think on their own. And you don't want simply yes men, and yet that's really what apparently the administration wants. They don't want anybody who will speak out and tell the people the truth.
Well, it's because the system is too big. You think back 40, 50 years, how many advisors did... General Eisenhower had at the heart of the Cold War, I mean, when everything was very dangerous, he had 12. You come up there now, how many people work in the National Security Council? Over 1,000. I mean, just look at it. I mean, what's better, 12 minds that can sit around a table and discuss out a problem, or 1,000 are going to get into their little cliques and argue, and nothing ever gets done? That's the whole problem right there. And by bringing this intelligence reorganization, creating this new master thing, where one man's going to be responsible and everything's going to filter into him, dire consequences are coming.
Well, I think it was bad before, but I think it's going to be worse. And the fact this is the recommendation of the 911 Commission, which was obviously contrived. After all, the president insisted this independent committee, he was going to appoint the, he was going to appoint the head of the independent committee. How could you have, the president appointing the head of an independent committee? It ceases to be independent. And then, of course, the president, or at least his administration, set all of the rules for the committee and what the committee could do. And, of course, they insisted, that nobody could be called to testify unless the majority of the committee were in favor of it. Why not? If somebody wants to bring somebody in to testify, why not allow them? Oh, no, they have to have a majority of the committee. And they were sure the majority, most of those people had a conflict of interest. Most of them never should have been on that committee. That's the tragedy.
Well, in 1976, the summer of 1976, four intelligence staff officers set up in room 7A119 in NSA and predicted, because of the way intelligence was being reorganized then, we would have a major attack on the United States. And it has happened.
Well,
They should have been called to testify to ask why they made that prediction. And right. I sent a letter.
Oh, we're out of time. God bless you. Thanks so much, Jerry.
Sure enough. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is a fascinating four-tape set, Genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dunigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America. The fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just mention some of the items that we have at Radio Liberty, which we hope you'll want to get to really understand what's going on. And certainly one of them is that four-tape set. It's entitled The New Order of the Barbarians. And, of course, you can get the Genocide tape set with one tape in it, or the New Order of the Barbarians tape set with four interviews with Dr. Dunigan as he tells this amazing, amazing story of the talk that was given by Dr. Richard Day, who was actually the medical director of Planned Parenthood. And this was in 1969. And Dr. Day said to the doctors that gathered together there in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, turn off your tape recorders, don't take any notes, and I'm going to tell you what the future holds. And he laid the whole thing out, everything that's going on today, whether it's women in sports, or whether it's our fixation in sports, whether it's the fantastic salaries paid to people in sports, whether it's the fact that the Japanese cars are better than the American cars, whether it's the new diseases they've created or the suppression of the truth about cancer and the skyrocketing cancer rates in America. It's all covered, and covered very well, in the four-tape set, The New Order of the Barbarians. And you can actually get a transcript of at least three of those talks separately, or you can get it along with a four-tape set. We certainly recommend this. It's one of the most amazing stories. And of course, Dr. Day, back in, it was March or May of 1969, talking about how they're creating new diseases. And then just, of course, 2 months or so later, Dr. MacArthur goes before Congress, and asking for an appropriation for $10 million to create a new disease for which the immune system will not be able to fight it off. You need to get the New Order of the Barbarian four-tape set. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I hope you enjoyed our interview with Jerry Mooney, and you realize that we really did abandon those boys. We do have the report. It's about a 90-page report out of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, totally suppressed across America today. But we're one of the few sources. We call it the Helms Committee report because it came out of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee when Senator Helms was there. And, of course, you can get the Helms Committee report by itself. It's not that expensive. Or you can get it as part of the The Vietnam tape set, and we actually have a four-tape set on Vietnam. Now, why did we go to Vietnam? Well, we certainly didn't go there to win. The mightiest nation in the world spent 10 years fighting a country the size of the state of Mississippi, and we lost the war. Well, we lost the war because we never went there to win. We never believed in the domino theory. It was a wonderful diversion to keep our attention fixed overseas as they took God and prayer out of our schools. They introduced the Great Society socialist programs to transform America, changed our immigration laws, found a woman had a right to kill the child within her womb, and all sorts of other things to centralize all power in Washington, D.C. That's what Vietnam was all about. It was all part of the effort to change America. And we give you the sources, the reference from their publications. In fact, Foreign Affairs Magazine, January 1967, lead article written by McGeorge Bundy, member of the Council on Foreign Relations, member of Skull and Bones, close friend of Henry Stimson, Henry Stimson's Skull and Bones, CFR. In fact, the two of them wrote a book together called On Watch. And, of course, McGeorge Bundy explains what Vietnam was all about. Had nothing to do with winning over there. It had to do with transforming America, and that's what Vietnam was about. And it only cost 58,000 lives to do it. And, of course, it wasn't it wonderful because America has become a post-Christian socialist country, ready, of course, now to be moved into the New World Order with a new world religion. So you need to get our four-tape set. Of course, you can get the four-tape set on Vietnam, or the four-tape set, The Men We Left Behind, or the four-tape set, One Man Returned, The Story of Bobby Garwood. And this, of course, comes with the book that we've talked about, and another book, several books, and you can get the Vietnam special for $69.95, or get any one of those items individually. Each one tells a powerful, powerful story. And let me suggest that you give serious consideration to get Vietnam, The Untold Story, The Men We Left Behind, One Man Returned, the Helms Committee report, Senate Foreign Relations Committee reports. You need to have the documentation to show people, because most people don't realize we abandoned people during the First World War. And do not for one minute think that if you go overseas with the military and you were captured, then they're going to come after you, because it's a lie. And we left 25,000 men, between 20 and 25,000 men, during the Second World War. They were just abandoned. And we abandoned 8,000 in Korea. We abandoned, probably the figures are closer to 2,000 in Vietnam and in Laos. And none of the men who were over in Laos ever came home. And, of course, you have to understand that there is a dark side to our government. There are evil and wicked people there. There are people like Henry Kissinger and people who belong to secret societies. That's why you need my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness. And, of course, you can get any of the items we've talked about by going to 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We do hope that many of you will go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. You can pull down our newsletters there. You can listen to our programs directly or indirectly 5 hours a day at radioliberty.com. You can see the items that we carry. Incidentally, we do carry the Berkey products. And if you're thinking about getting a big Berkey or a Berkey Light, if you get it through us, you'll get a four-tape set or a video we produced. And it helps to keep us on the air. It's an expensive proposition, but we think it's so important that there's a voice out there pointing out that they're really involved in the spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, cultural battlefield. Pray for America. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so, until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.